Good morning.
Good morning.
We at First Christian like noisy worship. We like babies that laugh and even babies that cry. We love the sound of the music from the pews. We even love the person in front of you or possibly behind you who sings off key or maybe with no keys. It is all a part of the joyful noise that is worship. What we don't like in our worship are these things. The best position for them as you center with God is off. The second best position is silent. So if you could silence your cell phone and center your heart as we listen to Arlen play the prelude. Yeah, the fans are working well somewhere. Welcome again. We have a ton going on in our church this week. The first thing I want to announce is that there is a called meeting jointly between the executive board, the Board of Elders, tomorrow night at 6:30. I would also encourage any members of the search team to come to that as well. We will be discussing the next step in our search and call. So please plan to attend that. Our pulpit guest today is Terry Morrison. If you are a regular at chapel, she is no stranger to you. If you do not attend chapel, she may be a new face, but I can tell you that she's amazing, and one of the great joys of being an elder this year has been the opportunity to get to know her. Flag Day, June 14th. 2 weeks. Flag Day is June 14th. And there will be a potluck picnic at 6:30 p.m. In the yard of the church, put on by the Disciple Women's Ministry. Please plan on coming to that. Next week is Pentecost. Please wear red, the color of the Holy Spirit, to that. Property is in need of help. Cal Decker has resigned, and there are many positions that Cal used to just do. He would come and do things, and we need help picking up the slack there. So please contact Dan Cooey or Reverend McBride if there is anything you can do to help with maintenance, with yard work. Think about snow removal, it's coming. So all of those kinds of things. Madison, you had an announcement.
Good morning, everybody. Just a reminder, after church today, we're having a lasagna lunch downstairs. It's part of a fundraiser for my trip to Orlando this summer. I've been invited to audition for a bunch of people in Orlando, and I just needed a little bit of extra help. And so we're doing a lunch downstairs, so please come down and enjoy my mom's amazing lasagna. We have bread, salad, dessert, everything. So please come down and enjoy it with us. And I'm also doing a kind of mini concert, so it'll actually be like a lunch slash show. So please come down and enjoy. Thanks so much.
Were there any other announcements? Please stand, greet one another in Christian love and peace, and then when we come back together, it will. Okay, so we're all readers here, and I don't have my bulletin in front of me. There is both a song after that and also a responsive reading. So those numbers are in your bulletin.
Very kind words. Thank you, Sandy. We have to get together. Thank you.
please join me in the responsive reading on page 749? When you see the little R's, that means that we need to sing. So Arlen will play through the response once for us, and then we'll sing, and then, okay. And this is not my most together Sunday. It's a good thing that God loves us, even though. Okay, and then I guess I'll read the odd-numbered ones, and you can read the even-numbered ones. So, Arlen? The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad.
Clouds and darkness surround the Lord. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne.
Fire goes before the Lord and consumes God's adversaries on every side. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth.
The heavens proclaim God's righteousness, and all the peoples behold God's glory.
All worshipers of the image are put to shame, those who make their boast in worthless idols. All gods bow down before the Lord. For you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all other gods.
The Lord loves those who hate evil, guards the lives of the faithful, and rescues them from the hand of the wicked.
Light dawns for the righteous, and the joy for the upright heart. Could join me in prayer. Holy One, come into this place. We need you. We need you to heal our brokenness. We need your guidance, as our own compasses often follow a magnet of our culture rather than the true north of your plans for us. We need to become greater than ourselves, and we can only do that in the light of your love. Teach us to be your people, as you have taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
please join us for
our praise hymn in your hymnal 595, Be Thou Our Vision. Any children to please come forward at this time?
Good morning. I'm Terry. And I'm glad to be here with you. So I'm going to show you what I have in this little plastic bag. And I'm going to hold it out where you can't get too close. What does it look like at first? Dirt. That's what I thought when I first looked at it. It looks like dirt. But it's actually something else. I'm going to hold it up closer and see if you can come up with any other ideas besides dirt. You have it. It's seeds, okay? And the reason that we are looking at these seeds is because we're going to be reading from the Bible in a few minutes, a part of the New Testament when Jesus had something to say about a grain of wheat. Now, a wheat plant, which I don't have, gets very, very tall, and we use it to make flour for breads and cakes. Before its life is over, every wheat plant makes golden grains, which basically are seeds. And they get planted in the right soil and watered in the sun, then more and more wheat grows so that other people can have some of that wheat. Jesus wants us to learn how to be his seeds so that we can love and help other people like he helped us. So I didn't have the grains of wheat to share today, but I brought these seeds, which are of a bunch of different wildflowers. That's why they're all kinds of different shapes and sizes to grow all kinds of wonderful plants. And we're like that too. We come in all shapes and sizes and colors, and yet we all follow Jesus in lots of different ways to help and love other people. So I'm going to give you just a couple seeds each so that you can take them away as a reminder that Jesus planted us here today. Yeah. So that, because he loves us and he wants us to love and help other people. So this is our little reminder about that. So let me give you a couple seeds. Maybe one hand might work better because they're so small. Right? Here you go. Now, theoretically, if you plant these, they might grow into some kind of wildflower from Alaska, which is where I grew up. But they're at least a reminder of Jesus' love for us and what Jesus wants us to do. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that you will help us to follow Jesus and to learn to plant seeds of love every day. Amen. Thank you.
Abraham Lincoln once said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all around me seemed insufficient for the day." As we come together to pray as God people, we understand very much what that feels like. So our card shower today is for Jackie Greenlee on the death of her son Brad. The cards in your pew pockets are there to just let someone know that you're praying for them. We also want to bring Errol Miller, who is also grieving for the death of a son. We have many members of our congregation that are dealing with cancer and other sicknesses. Both Cal and Monica Decker come to mind there. Eli Halleck is looking at testing this week to see how his treatment is coming. Lee Yon is continuing to improve and not improve, depending on which day you ask. Lorna Cook is still recovering from her fall. So many people in our congregation are there. Do we have other requests for prayers besides those listed in the bulletin? Debbie? So Debbie's friend Sonia, her tumor has shrunk, which is a good news. And one of the people from the sandwich ministry, Martin, is dealing with a friend's suicide, and we all know how difficult that can be. Other requests? Yes. What's her name?
Alyssa Dawson now. And then today I officially move out on my own again.
So Joy's from Arlen. His sister got married and he has his own apartment.
Ouch.
House. Oh, his own house. It's not even an apartment. So this is a time when people are stepping out into new territory. Graduations abound, new houses, new weddings. It is a time as we step boldly into the future. Others? Yes. Okay, Jessica, what's her last name now? Steele. Jessica Steeles. Surgery went well, and she's in the healing process and feeling a little better about the world today than she was earlier in the week. What else? Let us come together as God's people in prayer. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, we thank you as your people. You have showered us with so much joy and so much healing and so much promise of what is before us. We thank you for Sonia's tumor, for Lissa's marriage, for Arlen's house, for Jess's Jesse's health. Those things that we see that help us to be mindful and cognizant of your presence in our life. We ask you to be with us and to be our healer as well. As we look at the Deckers, Bruce Braley, Eli Halleck, Levi Ostrander, so many more, both in this congregation and in the community at large, who are in desperate need of your healing hand. We ask you to be with those of us who need your guidance, who need your arm around us, and sometimes those of us who need your arm around our shoulders and your hand over our mouths. We are your people, and we are a flawed people. But we thank you, Lord, that with your guidance and with your help, each flaw can be a little less damaging, and each healing can be a little closer to our hearts. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
This is the time in our worship service for both receiving and giving. Receiving communion is something we do both individually and as a community. This celebration of Christ's life and death strengthens our individual faith, and sharing the sacrament together reminds us that God's church cannot perish. This is not something we do just within this building and congregation. We are sharing communion with Christians all over the world who daily work toward God's kingdom. Our communion table is open to all who believe in Jesus Christ and who are inspired to follow his example for ministering to others. Freely giving ourselves and our resources is a response to the daily spiritual and material gifts from God. We are blessed at this time of offering with our tithes and offerings. Now, during the summer, which it is summer today, first Sunday in June, and we're happy about it, we serve communion at the front of the sanctuary.
Please come forward by the center aisle, beginning with the front pew. You may place your tithes and offering cards in the trays at the front row, then partake of communion held by our deacons and elders, and then return to your seat by the outside aisle. If you prefer to remain seated, you will be offered communion in your pew. Our communion hymn is 395, Seed, Scattered, and Sown.
On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it and shared it with his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had blessed it, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, do this in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you do proclaim my coming until I come again." Let us pray.
God, who brings all things together in Christ, we thank you that you have made us one in Christ. We thank you for Jesus, who came to show us what being one with you and others looks like. We thank you that he was willing to give his own life to make it so. And we thank you for this bread and cup that remind us of that. As we take the bread and cup, fill us again with your Holy Spirit, that we might live before the world as one, and that because of that, people will see you in us. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, amen.
Let us pray. Our Lord, we thank you for the gift that you have given us in the communion table, and we ask you to take our gifts and use them for your ministry, so that the heart and the hands of Christ in your people may reach out and love and help a world in desperate need of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of course, anybody's welcome to sing along if you want. I'll do three verses.
Thank you. While I'm looking, you may look too. It's Acts 16 through 34. Page 136 in your pew hymnal. Acts 16. Pew Bible. Acts 16. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination brought to her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaims to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when the owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city, and they are Jews, and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set the food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that they had become a believer of God. When the morning came, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported the message to Paul, saying, "The magistrates sent word to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have beaten us in public, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison, and now they are going to discharge us in secret? Certainly not. Let them come and take us out ourselves." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them and took them out and asked them to leave the city. After leaving the prison, they went to Lydia's home, and when they had seen and encouraged the brothers and sisters there, they departed.
Good morning. Good morning. It's an honor to be here to worship with all of you this morning at the later service. I might have been napping by now. We've also had a miracle this morning. I enjoyed getting down with the children for that little time about the seeds, but the miracle is I was able to get up again without requiring their assistance. But do please know that I appreciate your welcome and your willingness to hear my reflections this morning. When we read the Gospels in the New Testament, A passage often begins with, Jesus said, Jesus told them a story, Jesus answered. Imagine being in the synagogues and in the crowds when Jesus was teaching, preaching, and healing. Jesus looked at each person. He knew each one by name. He responded to their needs, and he blessed them. Imagine being one of his disciples, who much of the time heard what was going to happen next. They knew his voice, and they heard his directions with their own ears about prayer, about loving one another and loving one's enemies, about turning the other cheek, and about caring for the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the sick, and the prisoner. Imagine being directly prepared by Jesus for the ministry that was being set before them. The disciples didn't have to find a Bible or know how to read it. They didn't need translations or interpretations. They just had to commit to his call to them and then listen. John 12, verses 23 to 26 tells how Jesus tried to help his disciples by explaining why he had to die and leave them. Jesus answered them, "The hour's come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Even after that, the disciples still had questions. You heard about some of them in last week's worship service when another passage was read later in John. And even later, after that, after experiencing the Easter miracle of his resurrection, the disciples weren't quite sure what they should do. Can we imagine what it was like for them, or that we could have done any better than they did? And then, in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, we read that, of course, Jesus fortunately stayed around a little bit while to help them through the transition, and he gave them what is often referred to as the Great Commission. Jesus put forth his very specific expectations. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, even that set of directions from Jesus was still before Pentecost. So maybe the disciples didn't all fully get it quite yet. Good thing Pentecost is coming next week. There is, though, some comfort in comparing ourselves with the earliest followers of Jesus. To begin with, just like the crowds that followed Jesus, he even now looks down on each one of us. He knows our individual names. He cares about our needs, and he blesses each one of us. Like his disciples, but all this time later for us, we still learn from his teachings, and we have faith in his healing, and we read what he preached to the people who lived in his time on earth. And like them, even with 2,000 years of hindsight, We may not always be certain that we are doing what we're supposed to do. Jesus' ministry in the modern day, here and now, is for us. And Jesus expects everything of us that he expected of his disciples, as individuals and as a church community. These words that were just read from John 12:24 state it very clearly when he said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You see, Jesus' death not only gave us salvation, it also bore much fruit because his ministry did not end with his life on earth. When Jesus shared his fate with the disciples, he knew that they would be the ones to continue his ministry then. He knew that his ministry would last not just beyond his lifetime here, but beyond theirs as well, to us to continue today, 20 centuries later, and that God's kingdom was just beginning. Now, we treasure the New Testament for its gospel and for its stories about how the ministry of Jesus Christ was immediately continued. In the book of Acts, the passage that Belle just read, we learn that the Apostle Paul and Silas are imprisoned after exorcising a spirit from a slave girl. It appears that Paul and Silas are arrested as much for not being known as Roman citizens as for interfering with the legal business of the girl's owners. This makes them, in a sense, victims of economic, political, and bigoted justice. This particular story has a happy ending because God sends an earthquake to free Paul and Silas and all the prisoners in the jail. And then Paul and Silas use that as an opportunity not to escape, but to praise God and ultimately to save the jailer. As followers of Jesus, they were the seeds, the fruit, that blessed the jailer and his entire household. The ministries of the apostles and early Christian churches are examples that guide us even now in 2019. We also are often inspired by fellow Christians in our more modern world. Paul eventually, of course, was a Christian martyr, as was a man almost 40 years ago in this hemisphere, Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was shot and killed while delivering his last Roman Catholic Mass in 1980. Although Oscar Romero had originally been opposed to the progressive liberation theology that was popular among those seeking to help poor farmers in El Salvador, Romero was deeply impacted when his friend, a priest, was assassinated as a result of commitment to social justice. Then, through weekly homilies on national radio, Romero advocated an end to the repression of people in El Salvador. As the Apostle Paul often did, Romero ended up putting himself at odds with the economic and political leaders of his time and place. This is how Oscar Romero became a target of assassination by the government and the military. The prophetic witness of this Christian really was not successful. It didn't end the violence. More than 75,000 Salvadorans would eventually be killed. 1 million would leave the country, and another million would be left homeless. But Romero knew that his life, his ministry, and even his death were not the most important things to know about Christianity and Jesus. He understood that he was one seed in Christian ministry, a small piece of Jesus' ongoing eternal mission. "A bishop will die," Romero had said, foreseeing his own fate, "but the church of God, the people, will not perish." When we think about our own church's ministry, and when we reflect on Jesus' directions to all of us as his disciples, Our understanding can be informed by the words of Archbishop Oscar Romero that have outlived his time on earth. Romero said, "It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is the Lord's work. Nothing we do is complete," which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. Well, while we don't know when God's kingdom will be completely achieved for everyone, we do know that it will happen in God's time, not as a result of our planning or our timetable or our efforts. This is very humbling and even very frustrating. Yet Jesus wants us to remember that we are part of God's kingdom that is becoming, whether or not we fully understand it. So for centuries, Christians have shared what we believe with others as best as we can until God's kingdom is fully realized. We always hope and pray that whatever we are doing, it is with God's guidance, even if there is always more that can be done. Oscar Romero put that into perspective too when he wrote these words. "No sermon says all that can be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No pastoral visit brings wholeness, and no program accomplishes everything." Now, this does not mean that we should stop preaching or praying or confessing or visiting or designing programs. Not at all, because multiple efforts over time get amazing results, sometimes known and other times not known until much, much later. It's just that there will always be more to do. And this is what Romero urged his followers to remember, that there is much to be done. He said, "That is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that affects far beyond our capabilities." Have you ever learned many years later that something you said or did left an impression that you were totally unaware of at the time? You hope it was a good impression. The ways we show our faith may influence someone else, even though we individually or personally may never know it. The impact that our church community makes may not seem successful in the short run at times, at least not by the most popular ways of measuring success. As important as our attendance numbers and finances may be, let's pray that when others look at us as Easter people, they can see God's presence in the world, regardless of the numbers. Current events in the news can overwhelm us daily with evidence that this world needs God. The Archbishop offered words of reassurance even in his lifetime. He said, "We cannot do everything." And there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very, very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. Maybe we can use those thoughts to take some deep breaths when our congregation makes necessary and important decisions about our ministry and our programs. Maybe it's okay if we don't know in advance how every detail will pan out when the budget is approved. Recall that it was just a few people in this church who took small steps to begin the blanket and sandwich ministries that are now maintained with broader partnerships in the larger Casper community. Several years ago, this congregation allowed the morning chapel service to continue without certainty that it could be sustained. Perhaps moving forward now with the process of calling an associate minister is a step towards something that we cannot even yet imagine. Reverend Bill Bright from Cheyenne put it well in his recent evangelism workshop for our congregation. He said, "We plant the seeds, but God does the work." Now, Oscar Romero did not want his fellow Christians to lose faith, and his words make it clear that his life and work with them should not be seen as a failure, but as part of an ongoing process toward God's kingdom. This is how he expressed it. "We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. We are ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future that is not our own." So here are some concluding thoughts. God is with us. Jesus guides us. We each have gifts of the Spirit to use in the work of God's kingdom. The results of our efforts at First Christian Church in Casper, Wyoming, that we make today or this month or this year, may be known rather soon or maybe not until long after most of us are gone. May we each know that we are guided by Jesus, and may we feel blessed individually and as a congregation now as this church continues God's unfinished work together. We welcome new members by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. To accept Christ as your Lord and Savior or to make First Christian Church your church home, please talk with our elders who are here or come forward during this closing hymn. Join together in singing La Semilla, You Are the Seed, number 478 in the Chalice Hymnal. That the world will not always welcome God's peoples, God's leaders, prophets, workers, and followers. Nevertheless, we pray for direction in how to be Jesus' seeds planted in your world and creation, for guidance to continue planting and nurturing the seeds of Jesus' ministry, and for the necessary words to convict, to heal, to raise up others for justice, and to offer forgiveness for those who harm or challenge us. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing
at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Thank you.